tonight to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're continuing on with our Christmas series here. What can I give him? And of course, the answer is presents. We're looking at various presents that can be given to the Lord. And we find those presents in the Scripture. Last Sunday night, Mr. Lewis started us off with looking at presents that Simeon gave. And this morning we looked at presents that giving gives. We looked at that word quoted by Paul from the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And we got some other messages coming up. Next Sunday, Pastor Gossman is going to be speaking on the presents that Anna gave there in Luke chapter 2. And we will also hear about some of the wise men. Samuel is going to be speaking about them. And but tonight, I wanted to have us look at Joseph. Joseph. Presents that Joseph gave. Joseph maybe doesn't get a lot of attention at Christmas. There's not a whole lot of scripture about Joseph. We don't have a whole lot about him. Last time that we actually read about him is in Luke 3 when the family goes to Jerusalem for the feast. That's the last we hear about Joseph in the scriptures. And then if you fast forward to the cross, only Mary is at the cross. And the suggestion of some is that Joseph passed away in between that time period. We don't really know for sure when he died, but it could have been that he passed off the scene. But he is an important character in the story of how God gave Jesus Christ into the world. And we want to see some of the presents that Joseph gave in his life. Let's look here at Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Presents that Joseph gave. We're going to look at a few presents that Joseph gave. Didn't read verses 1 through 17, but there we've got a genealogy. Maybe some of you are interested in genealogies. There's usually somebody in the family that knows the genealogies of your family. Matthew 1 begins with this genealogy, which comes down to Joseph. So the first present that we see that Joseph gave is the present of heritage. The present of heritage. Verse 16 says, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Very clear that Joseph was not the physical father of Jesus, but this passage shows us that he was the legal father. He was the legal father. He was the adopted father. And the point of all these names in verses 1 through 17 is to show his family tree, to show that Jesus' right to the throne of David comes through Joseph. If we look at that genealogy, we would find some surprising characters. Tamar, verse 3. Rahab, verse 5. David and Bathsheba, verse 6. Even some of the popular characters, Abraham, for example, David, other kings, these are characters that are sometimes well known for their mistakes, for their sins. So we see that being part of this legal line to David's throne is not necessarily something to boast about. It's something to praise God for. Something to praise God for. There was good, there was bad, and either way it was all grace. And that's what Joseph was able to give, his heritage. You know, that's something that we can give as well. We all have a heritage. We all have a family tree. And we look back in it, maybe some close ancestors, maybe some ones that are farther away. There may be some ones that you wish weren't in that family tree. But they are there anyway. And so how can you give your heritage? Well, you can give thanks for it. You can give thanks for it. It was given to you, your family tree. It was given to you by God. Same as Joseph's family tree was given to him. And it was given to Jesus, legally, adoptively. And we can give that by giving thanks. It's all because of God's grace, the good and especially the bad. Just like the bad is in this family tree, especially the bad. And what God is able to do through that, we can give thanks. It's nothing because of what we've done. There's no boasting. You think about Joseph and his family and how he was a father, not a physical father, but an adoptive father to Jesus, gave him that heritage. You know, that was something that wasn't quite normal, as we see here in this text. His fatherhood was a different than everybody else, kind of a stepdad. He gave that heritage. You know, that's something that we can give today as well. We can offer ourselves to God, even if there are things that are not usual in our lives. Something that's maybe a little bit different. We can offer that to God. And then I want you to notice about Joseph the present of status. Status. You know, the word status makes us think about importance. Somebody has status, they have importance. Well, not necessarily. Joseph was not an important man of the world. He had a low status. The Bible tells us that he was a carpenter. In Matthew 13:55, they asked the question about Jesus, is not this the carpenter's son? Joseph was a carpenter. Probably worked with wood and stone. The carpenters of those days were also stone masons. And they used a lot of stone. His hometown was Nazareth. It was Nathanael who said about Nazareth, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? John 1:46. Nazareth was a small, insignificant town in Galilee. Not much going on there. No major roads going through Nazareth. It was an out-of-the-way place. That's where Joseph lived. But that was his status. That was his status. And that was a present, I think, that Joseph offered the Lord. And that's a present that we can offer the Lord. We can offer ourselves where we are in life, no matter our status. There are things about Joseph that we might have done differently. You know, he was just a poor man from Nazareth. God could have involved somebody else a lot more important or wealthy. Someone that actually has a good sense of timing to plan for a baby to be born comfortably. But we see how Joseph was willing to go through with it and where he was. So maybe there's something that we can connect with about that. The status that Joseph had, it wasn't a high one. It was a middle class or low status. And maybe There's something in our lives that we feel is lacking in some way. We are. Something unqualified, something weak. What God does often in the Scripture is take somebody who's like Joseph, who's low in status, and He uses that person. Somebody low, somebody from an insignificant town, somebody not wealthy. And He says, you be the leader of the home where Jesus is, the Son of God, second person of the Trinity. God says, you go in Joseph's home. That's not what we would have chosen. And there's so many other things that are just like that with the birth of Christ, where God takes something unexpected humanly and He uses that, something very low. And so the present that we can offer to God is our status, even if we sense that it's not worth anything. It's weak. It's weary. Worn out. Offer that to God. That may be what God is looking for. Something weak. That's the kind of status that Joseph had. Then as we continue on here, we see that Joseph offered another present, the present of pleasing God, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. The word just here means righteous, and the sense is that it's something that's in accordance with what God requires. I think the idea is that Joseph was a man who was concerned about pleasing God. He was concerned about what are God's standards? I want to meet those. What does God require? He was a just man. He was pursuing God's plan for most people, marriage. Then he finds out he can't go forward with it at this point. He finds out about Mary. The obvious human understanding is that she's been unfaithful. Something had to be done. You know, they were betrothed. They were espoused. It's a little bit different than our engagement today. You know, if two people are engaged today and they, you know, they get cold feet or whatever, they find out about a problem, they can just say, hey, here's the ring back. Okay. I'm not getting married. And it's that simple. And sometimes, that has to be done. But not with betrothal. Betrothal required a legal procedure. Betrothal was more binding than our engagement today. And there was something that had to be done there. But we see here Joseph, he's a just man. He wanted to please God in this. And we need to have that same present that we give to God too. The present of pleasing God. Can we give that to the Lord? Can we be just men and women to know what God requires? To know the standard of justice? To try to meet that. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And Joseph was able to do that because he was a man of faith. He was a man who believed God, trying to please God by faith. There's many people in the world today that are not looking to please God. They're living by their own standard or somebody else's man-made standard. And that's not pleasing to God. But we need to give to God our willingness to be just. And then another present here, we see the present of compassion that Joseph gave. Verse 19 again. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. There were two choices for Joseph in his situation as a Israelite. First, he could start a lawsuit against her, bring charges against her publicly, which would ultimately result in the death penalty according to the law, Deuteronomy chapter 22. Or, second, he could give her a bill of divorcement, which would not involve a public trial. Numbers chapter 5 tells about that, verses 11 through 31. And so we're told that because he cared about Mary, he decided on that second option, to not drag her through the public trial, but to give her the bill of divorcement instead. So we see that compassion that he gave. See that he had compassion. You know, we can give that as well, the present of compassion. We may be aware from our perspective of somebody who has made some mistakes, some sins, some crimes. Maybe there's some shame that may be rightly experienced by somebody. And that was Joseph's situation prior to his dream, prior to God speaking to him. He thinks that he's dealing with somebody who has sinned, has made a mistake, and he is not full of hatred and vengeance toward her. That's not the typical response. We need to give that same gift, compassion towards somebody who doesn't deserve it in our minds, perhaps. And then verse 20, the present of patience. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. The present of patience. Joseph took some time to think about these things. He didn't go ahead and act. He didn't go ahead and rush into things. He stopped. He thought, what can I do? What's going on here? Maybe he prayed too. I don't know. He was patient. And evidently, he decided he would sleep on it. Evidently, he was able to sleep. He was a carpenter. If he was working with stone, too, he's probably really tired. But he slept. Let's see how it looks in the morning, maybe. And because he did that, God guided him. Maybe you need to give that present of patience like Joseph did. We can give that same present to God, to others, patience. It may be that we face a decision and there's some kind of pressure that's on us to make that decision, to buy, to sell, to call, to write. We feel that something needs to be done to meet. Maybe we need to step back and be patient and pray first. Wait for God to act. Ask God to guide. Read God's Word. Pray. And if we do that, we are giving that present to God like Joseph did, the present of patience. And we see God did intervene here. And this angel comes to him in a dream. And notice what he was told. Verse 20. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So there it is. He is told that this child is divinely conceived. It's conceived of the Holy Ghost. And then his mission, verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This This was all in fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Straight out of Scripture, Isaiah 7:14, that prophecy given to King Ahaz in his unbelief is fulfilled here with Mary being pregnant. He is God with us, Emmanuel. So Joseph receives that explanation here, and then we see a final present that Joseph offers, his obedience, verse 24. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." His obedience. Joseph's obedience would have been difficult in some ways, just as Mary's obedience was. Like her, Joseph would have faced misunderstanding from others, assumptions from the public. But we see here that he believed God. He believed God's word through this angel. And he obeyed, even though it was difficult, perhaps. That wasn't the last time Joseph did that either. Remember, in Matthew chapter 2, he's warned of God again to go and take his family, go down to Egypt, and he obeys then as well. And he obeyed by getting married to Mary. He took a wife. He didn't take a husband. He took a wife. And he married, true biblical marriage. It was a detailed obedience, all the way down to the name of Jesus. It says in verse 25, he called his name Jesus. Why? Because that's what God had told him to call the name of the baby. He called his name Jesus. He didn't ignore the details. He followed through on the details. So the present of obedience, you know, we also need to offer that present to the Lord. We need to give that present to the Lord, our obedience. Sometimes you may be afraid to do what God wants you to do. What are other people going to think? That's what Joseph and Mary had to face. What are other people going to think? But they came back to God has revealed this to them. God has given them His word. They obeyed. Joseph did that. Mary did that. Joseph was more afraid of what God would think. Yes, there would be, what are people going to think? But what is God going to think? He had the fear of God. He had reverence for God. And he wanted to obey God. God spoke to Joseph through an angel. We have the message of God's word. And our present that we give to God should be obedience. Are we obeying God? Are we obeying God? Everything that He said, even the details, the small details, are we following through on those details? You know, that's one of the most important presents that we can give to God, our obedience to Him. Which means we believe Him. It's a result of our faith. We believe God, and it works itself out in hearing and obeying God. We show that we do believe God. That is a present that we can give to God. So Joseph, he gave himself. What can we give to the Lord? We can give the same presents Joseph gave. Our heritage, our status, whatever status it may be, whether we think it's important or not, the gift of pleasing God, the present of compassion, of patience, and obedience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Joseph and the example that he sets for us in the Scripture. And we thank You that You're a God who uses men who are low and humble and unimportant. The men who believe you. And we pray that we might have the same faith that Mary and Joseph had, that we might obey. You've given us your word, and Lord, we know we ought to obey it. And help us this season of the year, even today, right now, to be obedient to you. Show us what you would have us to do. We thank you that we have your word, that you speak to us through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's close with, we're going to sing the same song we sang earlier, In the Bleak Midwinter. And let's stand and we'll sing the first and the last. In the Bleak Midwinter, once again, let's stand and sing that. May the Lord bless you, and we're dismissed.